Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio.
We thought we'd meander into the much-loved territory of the movies with our regular guest on Sunday night, Father Richard Leonard. Richard Leonard, welcome.
Thanks, good to have you, John.
Once again.
It's always good to be here. Thank you.
Now, tonight we're going to talk about something that I think touches a little chord in each of us. Even if you're not Irish and you're not associated with a certain tradition, we're going to be talking about the church and particularly the priesthood in movies, and to begin, a film that brings it all back for many, Calvary. A pretty challenging movie, tagged as strong violence, sexual references, coarse language. This isn't the sort of stuff that we used to associate with the church in movies.
No, but I think it does come out of Ireland. And to be honest, right at the moment, the Irish Catholic Church is probably one of the Catholic churches of the world that's in some form of crisis. To go from the dominant position that the Catholic Church has had in Ireland to where it is now has been deeply traumatic, not just for believers, but for the country as a whole. And it's in that context that this film emerges. In fact, I'm so pleased you drew attention right at the beginning of this interview to the strong language and the strong violence and the difficult themes of this film. There are many of our viewers right now who might be attracted to a film that's called Calvary. Well, you've got to know that on the way through, I found some of the language confronting. I certainly found some of the violence indeed disturbing. So it's not an easy film. That said, it won Best Actor, Best Script, Best Film at the Irish Television and Film Awards earlier this year, and it's being much celebrated all around the world. It is a very important film in terms of charting whether forgiveness is possible, life and death, sexual abuse and the clergy, about scapegoats and people who are victims and people who will sacrifice them. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Why don't I just give our listeners a précis of where the film goes and what it does. Now, for this one, I can't give away the ending. I just can't. So it's a bit complex.
No,
I'm trying not to, and I'm really on my best behaviour. This is about a parish priest called Father James Lavelle, played by the great Brendan Gleeson, great Irish actor. And one day he's in the confessional. It's Sunday, and hearing confessions in his local village, in a village church 21 miles from Sligo, we're told later in the film, one of his parishioners comes in and kneels down and anonymously starts to confess his sins. Well, in fact, he doesn't really. He comes in and talks about a temptation. He announces in what is one of the most provocative beginnings to a film that you could possibly imagine, that he was sexually abused by a priest when he was a boy for several years. And as a result, he has now decided to take revenge. The priest who sexually abused him is dead. So he's decided he has to kill his parish priest, Father Lavelle, and he's going to do so in 1 week. So you can put your house in order, as he says, and in 1 week meet me on the beach, which is where the film is set, and I am going to kill you as a revenge, as a sacrifice for what was done to me. Now, it's very clear, because this parish priest knows all his villagers, that he knows at the beginning of the film who this person is, though they've gone anonymously in the box with the grill. And we spend a week then going around meeting his, I've got to say, rather dysfunctional parishioners, and we don't know who it is. So it's, on one level, it's a who's going to do it rather than who'd done it. And on another, it's obviously a deep exploration of some very traumatic experiences.
And of course, it depends very cleverly on a shared concept of what the confessional is.
Yes, this is, he actually doesn't go to confession strictly as a Catholic priest. To go to confession, you need a couple of things there. The first is you've got to have sin. Well, he goes in to talk about temptations. Now, in the old days, we covered everything in the Catholic Church. We said that you could confess a temptation, but a temptation strictly isn't a sin. So if I go in and say, well, I'm thinking about having sex, well, I haven't had it yet. And we used to have sins of the mind, like that, which were basically temptations. Well, I think these days more systematic thinking about this would say, well, you really have to turn up to talk about a sin. And while you might have these disordered desires, and I guess they're worth talking about, he hasn't actually committed a sin. Secondly, he doesn't fulfill, I don't think, the strict terms of a confessional relationship, because he hasn't committed a sin. He's talking about a disordered desire. Thirdly, he's actually threatening the life of the confessor. That breaks the contract somewhat, I would have thought. And fourthly, he doesn't have any sincere purpose of amendment, which we need in confession. So he's not going to try and change his life. He's decided to murder the priest and he won't do any penance. So there's no penance given, no penance received, no penance done. So from the word go, while it's, I think, a bit of a, it's a conceit, really, a dramatic conceit to put it into the confessional, because that ups the ante. We're going back to 1953 to Hitchcock's I Confess here. So the burden of the priest is then that he can't reveal. In fact, I think strictly and canonically, the form of the sacrament, even though it occurs in the confessional, is actually not confessional. And indeed, he has a bishop in the film when he goes to share this burden with his local bishop, who's a bit of a prig, really. The bishop's an awful fellow and a dreadful caricature of bishops, as they very often are in films, I have to say. They come out worse than priests do in most films. The bishop says, well, you're really not bound by the seal. You should go to the police. And I'm, on this occasion, I'm right on that cinematic bishop's side, I'd have to say. So that's the structure of the film. He feels bound by the seal of confession, and now he goes to talk to each of his, several dysfunctional people who could probably be the one who wants to murder him at week's end.
It raises a couple of interesting questions, not the least of which is, what is a religious film? That is it the frame of the film that makes it religious, or is it the issues that are explored that make it religious? And to what extent is this a religious film?
I do think this is a religious film, but in a very different way to the classic understanding of religious films. This film, there's no question this film starts to explore the issues of death. See, Brendan Gleeson character, this Father Lavelle, is a really good guy. Everybody likes him. And that's refreshing. And in Ireland right now, where a good number of conversations would be about how rotten the church is, how shocking it's been, and how bad priests are. John Michael McDonough has done here is given us a good priest whom the whole village likes, and they all keep saying that. So he's literally a scapegoat. He's a sacrificial victim. That's the first thing. I'll come back to that later, I think. Secondly, it's about faith and death. This man has deep faith, and he faces his death or his potential death with equanimity. It's extraordinary to see his poise. If I found out, I'd run a mile or at least get on a bus and go to Dublin. And he does think about it, I have to say. It also talks about forgiveness. And at one stage, Father Lavelle says, forgiveness is highly underrated. And I think actually that's a very important theme in the film that emerges out of Ireland right now. Can we forgive perpetrators of sexual abuse? And even to say that is flippant. And if a victim is listening to, or a survivor is listening to us now, they will have already yelled at their radio, no is the answer to that question. And I fully understand where that comes from. But of course, at the cornerstone of the gospel is forgiveness. We've got to at least be working on it, working towards it. That's a big theme in this film. It explores the nature of sacrifice. And then I think right at the corner of the film is a very deep theological idea, which comes out of Romans chapter 5, about redemption, about how that classic atonement theory that Christ has come to be the atoning sacrifice. Now, I think we need to have a really big think about this in contemporary terms, and atonement is a big area in theology right now. But in classical atonement theory, this film fits in very nicely, knowing that St. Paul had two types of slaves in his day. One who, it was like a crime. You did your time in jail by being a slave. They didn't have jails as we have them. So you went off and became a slave to the person whom you had offended. So that was one type of slave. The other type of slave was somebody who was born into the class of slaves, and they were slaves for all of their lives. The way that you got someone out of slavery was either your slave took the place of another person and set them free, or you paid a ransom. And of course, in the New Testament, we have both themes used, where Christ paid the ransom to the Father to pay for Adam's sin, and indeed took our place, because we couldn't pay the ransom to God. We're already enslaved to sin. So the perfect, or the second person of the Trinity, has to take become the perfect man to make the perfect sacrifice. That's a very potted version of atonement theory, but it'll do for now.
Both represented deeply in song and tradition, Protestant
deep.
And Catholic tradition.
And, you know, without question, the verse 3 of How Great Thou Art, which I can't sing. I love How Great Thou Art, don't get me wrong. And don't call in right now telling us all how much you love How Great Thou Art. I do too. But when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in. Well, Jesus didn't only and simply come to die, but these are the themes this film actually starts to explore. For those people who do have an acute theological antenna, they're going to see and hear all that in the film.
It's and also, quite deep, of course, it has this path to inevitable death. That's the Calvary Road.
That's
the,
right.
The title of the film.
In fact, there are even some interesting. There are some interesting allusions in this film, and I don't want to stretch it too far. But if anyone sees it, and for those who are listening to us right now who have seen it, I wondered whether, in fact, there would be a Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday moment leading to this Sunday, because we're on the path to Calvary. Whether the Triduum, as we'd say in the Catholic and Eastern Orthodox tradition, whether they would be represented. And I think they're there. For instance, on the Thursday of this week, this famous week in the poor old parish priest's life, the rich man offers him all his wealth, which seems to me to be a bit of a 30 pieces of silver. And there's quite a gross scene of where he urinates on this piece of art that doesn't mean anything to him. Like he has
echoes
lost himself.
Of.
Echoes Judas and losing himself and...
piss Christ.
You know, and piss Christ. Well, I didn't think of that, but yes, that could be right. Good Friday. On the Friday of this week, he falls, he's scourged, and his hands at one stage are wounded. But I won't say any more than that because I am trying not to give away the plot. And on Holy Saturday, in the film anyway, it's a fairly quiet day. Nothing much happens there except the soundtrack. The soundtrack has everybody's talking about a new world in the morning.
Just a
new
minute,
world
I'll get the piano.
In the morning, so they say. Now, I think at that stage, you know, of course, we've got Easter coming and we've got the quietness of Holy Saturday leading to the new life of Easter Sunday. Now, I don't think that's too... We know this director. He's got form in Bruges and he's got form with... what was the other film he did? The Guard in 2011. These are not by and by. This is not stretching a bow. So it's all there for the pickings.
The other film that people may remember that came out of Ireland in recent years that was focused on religious experience, but particularly the abuse stuff, was the Magdalene Sisters, the Magdalene Laundry story. Now, I remember going to see that, and people in the loo afterwards were in tears, like just men and women. It had such a powerful, almost cathartic effect on the audience.
Mullen was the director. It's not based on a single experience, the Magdalene Sisters, but it is based on true life stories, which are all telescoped into one place for unmarried mothers and wayward girls, as it was called in those days, rather appallingly.
But the Irish know how to explore the church.
Oh, and they know how to be dark. You know, people are calling this a black comedy. There are a couple of laughs. And no, not much, you know, there are a couple of laughs. It's not a black comedy. I found it actually a deeply disturbing film, but not one that made me upset. It was just, it's just a deeply disturbing film because it's talking about good and evil at a very raw, profound and primal level.
We're going to have to wind up shortly, but let's just track the way the image of the clergy has been changed in films over the years because I think for many people... watching films as a kid, particularly if you grew up in the 50s and 60s, you were watching films made in the 30s and 40s, which for Catholic priests set a certain tone. It was Going My Way.
The Bells of St. Mary's.
Bells of St. Mary's.
Yes.
Barry Fitzgerald, Bing Crosby.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, even at one stage, Gene Kelly gets into the act. They're films that set a tone of the priesthood, which is the one that's been sort of fractured.
Yes.
In films like this.
There's no question. The change really came around the 80s and then into the 90s, 2000s, up to the present. Now we get a very, although this guy's a good priest, so in a sense he's quite heroic, he's a bit different to how we've had before. Now we've had abusive priests, but the heroic image of the priesthood is certainly the more traditional one. I defy anybody, Catholic, Christian, believer, non-believer, who goes to see Going My Way and isn't deeply moved by Father Chuck getting Chuck O'Malley getting Father Fitzgerald's mother in from Ireland right at the end of the film, whom he hasn't seen for about 30 or 40 years. It's a deeply moving thing. But it was all things to all men and women. It was that classic image of the priesthood. And one of the things I've done in recent years is to give in services to Catholic clergy around Australia. And one of the things I've done is often showing them Going My Way and Mass Appeal. Mass Appeal had Jack Lemmon, I think it was 1984, very different image of the priesthood there. But when we get when I show these two films to the assembled Catholic clergy, I've had Catholic priests actually say, you know, I decided to become a priest watching Going My Way or The Bells of St. Mary's, or that was the priest I wanted to be. So this loomed large in people's imagination that that was the perfect priest. It can sound slightly absurd, but I think it's important to recognise that at least as a stereotype, as a positive stereotype, you could be the hero of street urchins, you could rebuild the church, you could be wonderful with the religious sisters, you could build the school, and everybody loved you. And you're a heroic individual in the local community. That's what those films actually gave us.
And strangely enough,
Spencer Tracy in Boys Town.
But I think that image of the priest was preserved with integrity right up as late as Blatty and the Exorcist, that both Father Damien... He's a troubled priest,
but he's still a genuine priest. Max von Sydow. He's a bit troubled too, but he ends up being the scapegoat as well. They take on the evil that they have to confront. I think it gets a little bit more interesting. Like, we've got Doubt. Doubt's a film which starts to change all
great
of this.
Great film.
It's a great film. Sadly, Philip Seymour Hoffman, God rest his soul, Father Brendan Flynn, and we've got this, or the presentation of the clergy in the Magdalene Sisters, where the priest is a deeply abusive person of that men. The Boys of St. Vincent's, which isn't strictly about priests, it's about De La Salle brothers, I think, or anyway, it's Christian brothers in Canada. So we start to get the abusive stories, and I think we're going to get many more films. For tragic reasons, these stories actually need to be told, and survivors' stories need to be on the screen. And so as shameful as they are for many Catholics and Christians to watch, I absolutely support the idea that we need these stories to be there.
And the cathartic advantage, I guess, of these films is that they are opening up deeply and profoundly religious questions outside of a doctrinal framework. They're saying, let's crack open all this stuff about doctrine, and they're getting into the soul of the matter.
Well, even when I was a kid, the image you had of a priest is that we would now say unassailable, but it was much more positive for most Catholics than that. It was really that they were on a pedestal, that they were men who were heroic individuals, and they were doing great things for God. And as a result, they were above reproach and they were above criticism. So at least in the Irish Catholic mentality, that's the case. And obviously that was shared in many cultures right around the world. Well, how the mighty fall. If anybody now, of course, the image the priest we have is as a wounded healer, and we just hope that the wounds that any man takes, or any woman for that man these days, takes into the ordained ministry are not criminal wounds. That's of a very different order. It's one thing to be wounded with your flock and to know their frailty, their sinfulness, and their, the normal humanity. It's quite another to be a criminal within that community and to have and think that the clergy in any way is going to be a guise or a protection.
Mm, powerfully foreshadowed, of course, many years ago by Graham Greene.
Oh, the power and the glory. Yes, indeed.
Richard, we've got to wind up. Father Richard Leonard, thanks so much for joining us.
This has been a podcast of Sunday Nights on ABC Local Radio. Thank you for listening.